Chapter 9. Sabrina had heard many stories about Baba Yaga and read even more. What she knew was disturbing. Baba Yaga was thousands of years old, and it was rumored that she was a cannibal. Many of the family journals described heart-stopping encounters with her. They talked of her home, decorated with the bones of her latest meal. She seemed like an odd ally for the Grimm family, but time and time again the family had turned to her for help. Baba Yaga was responsible for the barrier that kept the Everafters in Fairyport Landing, but nothing she did came without a price. As payment for the spell, Baba Yaga had stolen the Grimm family's freedom forever. A Grimm would have to stay in the town as long as the barrier existed.
"So she eats people?" Daphne whispered to her sister in the back seat of the car as they drove to see the witch.
Her arms were wrapped around Elvis like he was a life preserver and she was lost at sea. Sabrina nodded. "That's the story."
"That's so gross," Daphne said.
She hugged the Great Dane.
"Don't let anybody eat me, Elvis."
Elvis whined, then turned his attention to a paper sack Granny had given them for the trip. Granny had stayed behind with Puck and said they would need whatever was inside to get to the witch. Uncle Jake was silent and pale as he drove the car along the road that snaked across Mount Taurus. The girls tried to ask him more about the witch. After all, he had come face to face with her and survived, but he seemed to be in a different world. Sabrina reached into her pocket and clutched the wand of Merlin. A little charge raced through her and made her nervousness vanish.
"We'll be just fine," she told herself,
"and if we aren't, that old lunatic is going to regret it." Suddenly, Uncle Jake pulled over to the side of the road and parked the car.
"Why are we stopping?"
Sabrina said, glancing out the window at the dense, snow-covered forest. The trees that lined the road looked black, even in the morning sunlight, as if their life force had been sucked out of them. "We're here," Uncle Jake replied. He looked out the car window into the woods and cracked his knuckles nervously. Daphne stared out the window.
"Where's here?"
Jake ignored her question. "You two stay in the car. I'll be right back."
"What?"
the girls cried. "I'll be back soon."
"No way," Sabrina cried. "We're going with you."
"It's too dangerous," Uncle Jake said. "Trust me, girls. If I didn't have to go, I wouldn't. The last time I ran into Baba Yaga, she told me she'd skin me and eat me as jerky. It's best if you wait in the car."
"I can't believe you," Sabrina complained. "You're treating us like a couple of little kids."
"We are a couple of little kids," Daphne said. Sabrina ignored her.
"We've seen bigger trouble than this Baba Yaga lady. We killed a giant. We stopped Rumpelstiltskin. Why, a couple of hours ago, I rescued us all from a hermit crab as big as a house. We're going."
Sabrina opened the door, got out of the car, and turned to her sister. "Come on."
"Fine, but if we get turned into jerky, I'm telling Granny,"
the little girl grumbled, getting out of the car and pulling Elvis with her. "Just stay close, then," Uncle Jake said.
"Wait, the bag," Daphne said.
She crawled back into the car and grabbed the paper sack, then rejoined the group. Elvis led the way through the woods. They journeyed deeper and deeper into the forest, through glades that were deadly quiet. The trees were closely packed, as if huddling together might save them from something. The Grimms could feel an odd creepiness around them, as if they were being watched. Every twig that snapped or bird that whistled caused Uncle Jake to jump. Sabrina noticed he was sweating, even in the frigid winter air. They soon found a path made up of white, oval stones that stuck up from the ground at different angles, making it difficult to walk. Daphne quickly lost her footing and fell to her knees. As Sabrina helped her up, the little girl screamed.
"What?"
Uncle Jake stammered.
"Look!"
Daphne cried, as she pointed down at the path. Sabrina bent down and brushed some snow off one of the white stones, and her heart stopped.
The path wasn't made of stones at all. It was a collection of human skulls, all looking up at them with horrible grins of death.
Gross!
Daphne shouted. At least we know we're getting close, Sabrina said. That's what they all thought, too, Uncle Jake said. Just then, a bright orange cat appeared. It stood on the path, hissing and baring its fangs. Elvis growled menacingly, but the cat was not impressed. Let's go back, Uncle Jake said. What? Why? Sabrina said. It's a cat. It's not a cat, her uncle argued. Come on, stop being silly, Sabrina said, as she walked toward the angry feline. Much to her surprise, the cat changed with every step she took toward it. It grew and morphed until it was a creature somewhere between a tiger and a man. Sabrina stared up at it and reached for her wand, but Daphne rushed over and yanked her back to the group. With every step backward, the creature morphed back into the cat. Okay, so it's not a cat, Sabrina said as she tried to catch her breath. His name is Bright Sun, Uncle Jake said. You could say he's one of Baba Yaga's bodyguards. Suddenly, there was a low growl behind them. The group spun around and found a little black terrier on the path behind them. A high-pitched shriek from above sent their gaze upward to a red-tailed hawk landing on a tree limb over their heads. We're being attacked by a pet store, Sabrina grumbled. The dog is Black Midnight and the bird is Red Dawn. They want an offering before we can pass. Sabrina pulled Merlin's wand out of her pocket. Well, I have a solution to this problem. Hello? Daphne said as she shook the paper sack. Granny gave us this for a reason. Maybe there's something in here that can help that doesn't require you to blow anything up. The little girl opened the sack, and her face curled up in revulsion. She reached inside and took out a small brown mouse. It was dead. Daphne tossed it to the ground, and the hawk swooped down and snatched it in its sharp talons. Daphne reached into the sack again and pulled out a can of sardines. She turned the key and rolled back the lid, then set the can on the ground. Bright Sun bounded toward it and ate the little fish hungrily. Finally, Daphne took a small rubber bone out of the sack. She squeezed it, and it squeaked loudly. She tossed the bone to the terrier, who caught it in his mouth and chewed happily. Then, without a sound, the three animals stepped off the path. "Looks like Granny is right," Daphne said. "You don't need magic to solve everything." Sabrina shrugged, put the wand back in her pocket, and the family continued farther down the path. Soon they came to a clearing where a small one-story shack stood. A little white fence encircled the yard and made the house look quaint, as if it were a summer cottage in need of a bit of tender, loving care. But as Sabrina got closer, she got a jolt of surprise. The fence was actually made from bleached human bones. The yard was full of broken cauldrons and animal skeletons, including the skull of a cat-like animal with massive tusks. The house had a heavy wooden door on the front and two little windows that looked like eyes staring down at them. If Sabrina hadn't known better, she would have thought the house was scowling at them. She opened the gate, stepped into the yard, and walked to the front door. A wind chime on the fence clinked as it caught a soft breeze. Sabrina examined the chimes. They were made from dried ears and rusty screws. She cringed. "Don't look," Sabrina said.
"We won't,"
Daphne and Uncle Jake replied from far off. Sabrina turned to see her little sister, her uncle, and Elvis still cowering at the gate. "Come on," she said, reaching into her pocket for a boost from her wand. "Don't be a bunch of cowards."
"I've got a bad feeling about this," Daphne said, as she and the group took a hesitant step into the yard.
Sabrina knocked on the heavy door, but there was no reply. She knocked again with the same results.
"Maybe she's out," Daphne said.
"Out? Where is she going to go? She's a witch, Sabrina argued. Maybe she's at the witch grocery store. I don't know, Daphne said testily. There's no such thing as a witch grocery store, Sabrina argued. Her little sister was getting on her nerves. Girls, Uncle Jake shouted, let's just go in and get this over with. If she's not home, then we'll search for the sword and count our blessings that we didn't have to see her. Sabrina pushed on the door, and it opened. Stay together, she said to the group as she stepped inside. Immediately, Sabrina felt her body tingling. Magic was all around her. She scanned the room and found it filled with old jars and buckets of icky black goop. There was a table off to the side littered with ancient books and odd potions that bubbled and hissed. The floor was filthy, and the only light source was a roaring fire in the fireplace. A crud-covered chandelier hung from the ceiling, and there were little dried apples on the fireplace mantel. A door on the opposite wall was ajar, but from where they were standing, they couldn't see what might be on the other side. Sabrina stepped over to the table and picked up one of the enormous books. Inside, she found the scrawls of a shaky hand, describing mysterious incantations in both English and a language she had never seen before. Something inside her wanted to speak the words out loud. She was sure something amazing would happen. She flipped through more pages and realized the paper felt odd on her fingertips. It felt almost alive. She looked at it closely and realized little hairs were sticking out of it. It was made from skin. She dropped the book and took a step backward, only to feel a blast of intense heat from the fireplace behind her. She spun around and saw the flame reaching out to her. She could have sworn there were faces in the fire, faces that cried out for mercy and freedom. Suddenly, there was a horrible scream. It had come from behind the door of a neighboring room. Everyone froze. Uncle Jake looked like he was going to be sick. They crept toward the door and pushed it open. Gathering all her courage, Sabrina stepped inside. There was Baba Yaga. The crusty-looking woman had dry, gray hair and a long, pointy nose. Her fingernails were nearly as long as her arms, and her face was wrinkled and scarred. She had one milky white eye that seemed to look in a different direction than the other, and her teeth were sharp in a way that could have only happened by filing them down. She was sitting in a chair made of bones and animal skins, watching a soap opera on her television.
"Welcome, Grimms. I'm sorry I didn't hear you knock," she said in a thick Russian accent.
She grinned and gestured to her TV.
I get so caught up in my stories. Hope just caught Bo having an affair with Marlena. You should have heard her scream. It was hilarious. But that's what Hope gets. She was cheating on Bo with John when they went to Spain. Now's not the time to get on the moral high horse.
The family stared at the witch, dumbfounded.
You've never seen Days of Our Lives? She asked.
Everyone shook their heads.
Oh, well, the witch said, as she was lifted out of the chair and placed on the floor by an unseen force. Relda has told me about your problem. I believe I can be of some assistance.
So, you're not going to eat us? Daphne said.
Not today, child. Perhaps when you are older. Children are mostly gristle at your age,
Baba Yaga said as she turned to Jake.
But you, on the other hand, I thought I told you I would feast on your innards the next time I saw you in my house.
Uncle Jake shuddered. We need your part of the Vorpal Blade, he stammered. I wouldn't have come if it wasn't important.
You grim men are a bit chompy. Spaulding Grim was the same way when he brought me the blade, she said. What's the matter, Jacob? Do I make you nervous?
Sabrina clutched the wand in her pocket and stepped forward bravely. Are you going to give us the blade or not? She said.
For a price, the witch said.
A price? Sabrina said.
There is always a price, child.
Okay, what do you want? Sabrina said, reaching into her other pocket. She pulled out a couple dollars in change. She urged her sister to do the same. Daphne managed to produce a little rubber ball, a button, a paper clip, and 10 cents. I suppose if this isn't enough, we could mow your lawn in the summertime, maybe dust your bones and headstones.
I want the wand,
Baba Yaga said. The words felt like a slap in the face to Sabrina. For the last few days, she had felt confident like never before, and it was all due to Merlin's wand. When she had it in her hand, she no longer had to run. Bad guys backed away. It was the source of her power, and it dissolved her fear. Asking her to give up the wand was like asking her to hand over a leg or an arm. I don't know what you're talking about, she lied. The witch smiled broadly, revealing a mouthful of puffy gums.
The child has been touched, Jacob, she said, eyeing the man. Just like her uncle.
No, she hasn't, Uncle Jake said with a sneer as he turned to Sabrina. Give it to her, Brina.
No, Sabrina said. We might need it when we face Red Riding Hood and the Jabberwocky.
No wand, no blade. It's that simple, Baba Yaga said.
Sabrina took the wand out of her pocket and pointed it at the old woman. Her hand was shaking with anger.
Then we'll take it from you.
Sabrina, think about Mom and Dad. We need the blade, not some lousy magic stick.
Daphne pleaded, but was drowned out by the rumbling thunder overhead.
Sabrina, give the wand to Baba Yaga,
Uncle Jake shouted. Sabrina shook her head.
Give us the blade!
The witch cocked an eyebrow at her and sneered.
You don't want me as your enemy, child.
Suddenly, Uncle Jake reached into his pocket and removed a small fire-red stone. Energy emanated from it and filled the room, and suddenly a shocking force yanked the wand out of Sabrina's hands. It sailed across the room and landed in Baba Yaga's hand. The energy running through Sabrina quickly faded, only to be replaced with a rage at her uncle for betraying her.
Okay, old mother, Uncle Jake said. You've got your payment. Let's see the merchandise.
Very well, the witch said, as she stepped across the room to a table where an old mug sat that read Foxy Grandma.
It was filled with wands. She carelessly stuffed Sabrina's in with the others and opened a drawer in the table. Inside was a shiny piece of metal. She took it out and handed the piece of blade to Jake. He studied it. Sabrina noticed that unlike the other portions of the blade, there was no inscription carved into it. There was no clue to finding the blue fairy.
We need help putting this back together, Uncle Jake said. The blue fairy is the only one who can do it. If the price was right, could you tell us where she is?
The old crone shook her head. Mounds of hair fell from her head and onto the floor.
Some things are not for sale, the witch said.
She clapped her hands, and red dawn, bright sun, and dark midnight entered the room.
My knights will escort you out, Baba Yaga said.
Jake nodded to her respectfully and led the girls toward the door.
Well, that was easier than I expected, Uncle Jake said.
Jacob, the old witch called out. Your mother saved you from my hungry teeth this time. She paid quite a price for your past intrusion. You should go home and thank her. But know this. If you ever invade my home again, I'll suck the marrow out of your bones while you watch.
Uncle Jake's face turned white, and Elvis let out a surprised yelp.
Tell your mother I said hello,
Baba Yaga continued, changing her tone to that of a sweet old lady. The cat, the hawk, and the terrier led the family outside into the cold clearing and left them at the gate. Uncle Jake looked down at the blade and smiled.
We did it.
Daphne hugged Elvis tightly.
You were so brave.
Let's get this home and see what Mom has to say about it,
Uncle Jake said.
No, Sabrina said softly. I can't leave the wand with her. It belongs to me, and we need it. You saw her. She tossed it aside like it was nothing. Well, it's not nothing. That wand might save our lives.
Sabrina, get a hold of yourself, Uncle Jake snapped. We've got the blade. That's what's important. We're lucky all she wanted was the wand. It's gone. Forget about it.
Sabrina couldn't believe he was so willing to surrender. Before her uncle could stop her, she reached into his overcoat pocket and snatched the shoes of swiftness. She slipped them on and turned to her family.
I'm going back for it. She won't even know I was in there.
Sabrina, no! Uncle Jake demanded. But it was too late.
Sabrina ran back to the house, opened the door, and in a flash, she was racing into Baba Yaga's room. She snatched the mug off the little table at a speed faster than the human eye. Unfortunately, Baba Yaga stuck out a bony leg and tripped her. Sabrina slammed hard onto the floor, and the little mug shattered, spraying magic wands all over the floor. Sabrina snatched up the nearest one before being yanked off her feet by her hair. Baba Yaga's inhuman strength allowed her to dangle Sabrina in front of her.
Your grandmother would be disappointed to know you are a thief, the witch said. Cooking you would save her the anguish of finding out.
Sabrina fumbled with the wand and eventually aimed at the witch's face. She thought of thunderstorms and flicked the wand with her wrist. Nothing happened. The witch cackled.
I'll give you some credit. You're braver than your uncle. He snuck in here and ran like a rat when I found him. You're still putting up a fight. Sadly, your passion is fueled by your addiction. It's made you so blind you can't even tell that you're not holding Merlin's wand. All that little trinket does is turn people into frogs.
Well, then I hope you like flies, ugly, Sabrina said, as she conjured a big, fat, slimy frog in her mind.
There was a sudden zap and a cloud of dust, and the sound of laughter filled her ears.
You really have to be sure to point those things in the right direction, the witch said, as the smoke cleared.
Sabrina was no longer in the witch's grasp. In fact, she was staring directly at the woman's crusty, corny feet.
Fudge! I made her a giant, Sabrina thought to herself, as Baba Yaga's gnarled hand reached down and scooped her off the floor.
Sabrina squirmed, but she couldn't get free.
Oh, goody for me, the witch said, as she held Sabrina close to her face. I haven't had frog legs since the last time I was in Paris.
Frog legs? What is she talking about? Sabrina looked down at herself. Her feet were green and webbed. Her skin was slimy and sticky. Her belly was like a massive sack hanging between her skinny little legs. A bubbling gurgle churned in her gut, slowly rising up through her body, and then her wide mouth opened.
I'm a frog, she croaked.
Baba Yaga lifted the frog girl above her head and slowly dipped her down into her open jaws. Sabrina struggled and used her webbed feet to block her descent into the witch's hungry mouth. Wiggling frantically, she slipped out of the witch's hand and tumbled to the floor. Without allowing herself any time to recover, she leaped toward the door, flailing and screaming as she went. Her new amphibious body could leap incredible lengths, but controlling the leaps was impossible.
My lunch! The witch cried. She's getting away! Red dawn, bright sun, dark midnight, help mommy!
The animals raced into the room. They spotted Sabrina and raced after her. She jumped as hard as she could, and her skinny, spring-like legs propelled her high over the creature's sharp claws and vicious fangs. She sailed into the next room. Spotting the front door on the opposite wall, she jumped toward it, but unfortunately smacked into it head first. She fell, dazed and hurt, as the witch's guardians rushed toward her. All three began to grow and change. Bright Sun returned to his tiger warrior form, while Red Dawn morphed into a horrible bird-like man with a savage beak and rippling arms. Black Midnight's transformation was equally disturbing. When it was finished,
He was a hunched, muscled giant with thick black hair all over his body and savage fangs. All three of the guardians were in armor and held long swords in their hands. Sabrina hopped onto the table with the witch's potions and powders, knocking over vials and bowls. The three guardians swung their swords at her frog body, destroying books with each mighty blow. Sabrina managed to keep just ahead of the knights, but she couldn't hop forever. Bright Sun landed a blow that nearly took off her webbed foot and upended a bowl, splattering himself with a particularly foul-smelling potion. He was instantly transformed into a little red mouse. He scurried across the floor, but not before he caught the attention of Red Dawn. The Hawkman dove for the mouse, only to morph into a tiny spider when he knocked a vial of blue powder onto himself. Black Midnight kept up the chase, but quickly suffered a similar fate as his companions. Something spilled on him that made his body inflate like a balloon. He soon drifted to the ceiling, where he was unable to get at Sabrina. Sabrina leaped back down to the ground and headed for the closed door. She soon realized that without hands to open it, she was trapped inside the house.
"Uncle Jake!" she cried. "Open the door!"
Suddenly the door swung open, and Sabrina hopped out into the cold air. The family stared down at her with mouths agape.
"All right, let me say it for you. I told you so," Sabrina grumbled.
"Is that you?" Uncle Jake said, reaching down and picking her up off the ground.
"Yes," she said. "You're squeezing too hard."
Just then, a window opened, and the witch stuck her head out of it. She shook her fist at the family and screamed.
"She's mine," Baba Yaga shouted from a window. "She tried to steal from me."
"You know I can't give her back, crone," Uncle Jake said.
"I was hoping you'd say that," the witch said.
A liquidy cackle bubbled from her throat, and the ground started to shake.
"What's that?" Daphne said.
"Here, hold your sister," Uncle Jake said, as he put Sabrina into Daphne's hands. He nervously fumbled through his pockets, yanking out odds and ends and growing more discouraged by the second.
"What's going on?"
Sabrina said, struggling for a view around Daphne's thumb. Uncle Jake turned to her and tried to explain, but his words were drowned out by a horrible tearing sound, followed by an incredible sight. Baba Yaga's house lifted itself off the ground on two massive chicken legs. It walked toward them. Sabrina wanted to scream, but all that came out was, "Ribbit." Daphne and Elvis both whined at the same time.
"You know what?"
Uncle Jake said, giving up his search.
"Let's just make a run for it."
He spun around, snatched Daphne's free hand, and dragged her back down the path. Elvis followed, barking and growling at the house that stomped after them.
"I hope you're happy,"
Daphne said to Sabrina, as the group raced through the woods.
"When we find Mom and Dad, I'm telling."
The dense forest slowed the house down a little, but with each step, its sharp chicken claws got closer and closer, eventually snagging the back of Uncle Jake's overcoat. Desperate, he slipped out of the coat and left it behind. The house stopped abruptly and lowered itself to the ground. Baba Yaga popped out of the front door, scurried over to the overcoat, and snatched it up in her gnarled hands. She riffled through the pockets and let out a laugh that echoed through the woods. Sabrina turned her little frog head and saw Baba Yaga holding the final piece of the sword high in the air above her head. Her heart sank. They'd been so close to recovering the third piece of the blade, and she'd ruined it. Why couldn't she just let the old woman have the wand? Why had she been so reckless? But then, the witch did something incredible. She tossed the blade through the air. It landed at Uncle Jake's feet.
"You forgot your prize, Jacob," she shouted,
then held up his overcoat.
"I'll take this as payment for the child's thieving ways," she said, as she rolled it into a ball.
She went back into her house, and the gigantic chicken legs lifted it once again. Awkwardly, it turned itself around, and then lumbered back the way it came.
Uncle Jake, I'm so sorry, Sabrina said. It's my fault you lost all your magic. What's important is we have the last piece of the blade, Daphne said. Uncle Jake can find a new coat.
Except I did have a magic potion in my inside pocket we could have used to defrog Sabrina, their uncle said.
What am I going to do? Sabrina groaned.
I think you should stay like that for a while and think about how you're behaving, Daphne said.
I absolutely agree, a voice said from nearby. The group turned and found Mr. Canis lurking in the trees. Mom sent you to check up on us, huh? Uncle Jake said, sounding offended.
Canis ignored the question. He approached the group and stared down at Sabrina, who was still resting in her sister's hands.
How did you get into this situation? He said.
She went back in for the Wand of Merlin, Daphne said.
Sabrina looked up at her and flashed an angry look.
And how did you come across the Wand of Merlin?
Mr. Canis growled, studying Uncle Jake.
I gave it to her, Uncle Jake admitted. The old man's eyes were aglow with anger.
The child is 11 years old. Grown men can't handle that kind of magic.
He was trying to prepare us for the future, Sabrina said.
You and I will have words later, child, Mr. Canis barked. For now, we need to find a way to change you back.
Why don't we just take her home? Mom is sure to know something in the Hall of Wonders that will fix her, Uncle Jake said.
The wolf turned on Uncle Jake and grabbed him roughly by the collar.
Ever since you were a child, you have been nothing but a problem for her. Every mess you made, you expected your mother to clean up for you. Well, look at the mess you've made this time.
It's a simple frog spell, Uncle Jake cried. She's not hurt.
I'm not talking about the spell. Sabrina risked her life and the safety of her family for a stupid piece of magic wood you gave her. The child is touched. She is addicted. And you are to blame.
Mr. Canis, Daphne said, setting her hand on his arm. It's okay.
The child's comforting words had a soothing effect on the old man.
This kind of spell can be broken with the kiss of someone with royal blood. Puck would have been perfect, but he's still very ill, Mr. Canis said.
Sabrina wondered if anyone could tell when a frog blushed. She hoped not.
Well, this town is crawling with princes, Uncle Jake said. Who should we call?
Unfortunately, I am going to have to clean up this mess myself, Mr. Canis said. Jacob, you're forcing me to ask a favor of my bitterest enemy.
Absolutely not, Sabrina cried, when she realized whom he meant.
Absolutely not, Mayor Charming bellowed.
It's the only way, Mr. Canis growled.
Charming looked around his mansion as if he were searching for an escape route. The entire house had become his campaign headquarters, and signs blocked most of the windows. When he realized he was stuck, he scowled.
The big bad wolf is asking for my help. The devil must have his long underwear on today.
The two stared at each other in disgust. They had a long history, and none of it was nice. Most of the time when the two got together, Granny Relda had to separate them, like two schoolboys bent on fistfighting.
You can do it on your own, or you can do it with a substantial bite taken out of you, Mr. Canis threatened. Your choice.
I liked you better when you were dead, Charming said through gritted teeth.
He stepped over to Daphne, who held out Sabrina in her hands.
Personally, I think the girl looks better this way. The mustache and goatee were unsettling. She's rather striking as a frog.
Mayor, if you don't do this, I will follow you wherever you go. I will be your shadow until you relent. You will never escape me. Your scent is one I know well, Canis said.
Fine, Charming said, rolling his eyes and picking Sabrina up out of her sister's hands. I suppose you'll be registered voters eventually. Remember who did you a favor once? He raised Sabrina's frog body to his face, closed his eyes, and planted a tiny peck on the top of her head. Sabrina felt the spell break immediately. There was a puff of smoke, and when it was clear, she looked down, saw that her feet and hands were normal, and almost started dancing with happiness. The mayor, on the other hand, looked as if he might barf, and quickly wiped his mouth with a handkerchief.
"Mayor, you're so cool," Daphne said, racing over to him and wrapping him in a big hug.
He struggled to free himself, but the little girl wouldn't let go.
"I hope you win the election."
Charming smiled slightly and then managed to push away the affectionate little girl. "Well, you don't have to worry about that. The latest polls are in, and I'm going to win by a landslide. If all goes well, I think our friend, the Queen of Hearts, is in for a very rude awakening." He stepped over and pinned "Vote for Charming" buttons on everyone's coats. When he got to Mr. Canis, he just set it in his hand. "Remember, vote early and vote often." Mr. Canis squeezed the button hard, and when he opened his hand, the pin was crunched into the size of a dime. He dropped it on the floor without a word. "Well, not that this wasn't fun, but it wasn't. You can find your own way out," the mayor said, sticking his face in the old man's. "Don't forget to take your dog with you." Charming turned to Daphne and noticed Elvis at her side. "Both of them," he said. He ushered them out of his house a little bit more roughly than Sabrina would have liked and slammed the door.
"Are you going to tell Granny what I did?" Sabrina asked Mr. Canis.
Mr. Canis scowled.
"The disrespect you have for that woman is outrageous. Do you think she doesn't know every step you make? Every night you have left her house and disobeyed her, she has known. I have followed you two children all over this town since the day you arrived. Your grandmother is not stupid."
The old man's eyes flared with anger, and then he darted into the woods behind Charming's house.